An ymhor, i y ford bo, i y ford bwyn syr bo. Amen. As I've said, every Sunday during Lent has a specific theme. And today's theme, today's title is the Sunday of the Prodigal Son. And so often we think about today as being a Sunday of God's forgiveness and his compassion on sinners. And this is true. But it's also about brotherly love. In the gospel reading which we just heard, we hear how a young boy, a young brother of two, decides that he wants his inheritance. And in the ancient world, this is not good. Even today, it's not good. But especially in the ancient world, when some brother comes or some child comes and says, I want my inheritance, he is basically saying, you are dead to me. You're better dead than alive to me. And so I want my money now. And the father gives him the money. This parable is not parenting advice. Okay? Keep that in mind. We are not supposed to do what the father did. But he gives it to him. And he takes the money and he goes to a foreign land, the gospel tells us, and he wastes it on prostitutes and on food and on partying, and he runs out of money. He then starts to work for a farmer, and he starts feeding pigs, and he is so hungry that he would rather eat the food of the pigs than starve. And so he decides, and he says to himself, wait a minute, I remember now. I have a father. I have a home. I have somewhere I can go to. So he decides to get up, and he goes there, and he's practicing on the way. And he says, I'm going to tell him this, this, and this, and that I'm not worthy to be called your son. But rather, I will be a servant of yours. And as he's walking there, the father sees him from a distance, runs out, welcomes him, and he orders his servants there to give him a cloak, a robe, put sandals on his feet, give him a ring, and to kill the fatted calf, because they are going to rejoice because his son has come back. The older brother hears the commotion coming in from the fields, and he asks, what's going on? And they say, your brother has come back. And he's upset. He's very, very, very upset. And he calls his father and he says, why would you do this? I have been loyal to you. I have helped you. I have served you. I consider you being alive. And my brother, your other son, has done all these horrible things. And you set up a feast for him. Why would you do such a thing? And he says, merely the father, your brother was dead and is now alive. He was lost and now he is found. We think, as I said earlier, that this parable is about God's love and mercy for a repentant sinner. And this is true. But it's also about brotherly love. I want to invite us to look at this parable from a different point of view. So often we compare ourselves with the prodigal son who has done sinful things and we're coming back to God for help. Or we might think also we might be like the father when somebody comes, my son or my daughter or somebody comes, and we're willing to welcome them in no matter what they've done wrong. But I want us to look at this from the older brother's point of view. From the older brother's point of view, because I think many of us, if not all of us, have been in that position once before. If we look at the older brother's point of view, what did he see? He saw that he served his father, he sacrificed for his father, he honored his father, and he followed all the rules of his father. And he also saw that his younger brother abandoned his father and his family, he disobeyed his father, and he told him, you're dead to me. You're better off dead than alive. I don't want you here. I don't want you in my life. Give me my money. So naturally, he feels upset. He feels angry at this injustice that's taking place. The fact that he is now being honored. As I said earlier, this is not parenting advice. We should not be doing this as parents. But the question then becomes, what do we feel? We who may be active members in the church, who follow God's commandments, who fast and who pray and participate in almsgiving. We who pay our dues and our pledges and our stewardship. We who attend church events and volunteer at those events. We who do all of these things, then all of a sudden somebody comes to the church that we've never seen before, hardly ever comes, hardly ever participates in the services, hardly ever participates in stewardship. Probably, as I said, moved from California, right? Because we have lots of new people from California, and I welcome all of them. But we have lots of people who move here, and now they're coming and they're saying, well, you should do this. Maybe we should do that. I think this would be better off this way, and giving their opinions. The natural reaction of us is, who are you? You haven't been here. You haven't been in this church. You haven't helped build this church up. You haven't been there to paint the walls at the old church. You haven't been there to help vacuum the carpets at the old church. Who are you to tell us what to do? Or, when we see people who get blessings from God, and we all have been in that situation, why does he get to be blessed? I pray every day. I go to church. I participate. I read the Gospels. I read the Bible. I do all of these things, and yet that person gets the blessings, and he doesn't do anything. In fact, he lives an unrighteous life, and now he's getting all the blessings. Why?
Because we're not righteous if we're like
that. That's right. We're not righteous if we're like that, if we're complaining. And this is the problem. This is the problem. We always say, he doesn't deserve it, I deserve it. I've gone through so many things, I deserve all of this. And the reason we act like this, the reason the older brother acts like this, is because he is prideful and he is jealous. Pride thinks and says, I am better than you. And jealousy says, if anyone deserves it, it's me. It's not you. And both of these seeds, jealousy and pride, are sown by Satan. He sows these within us so that there is division and so that the church cannot grow. We are all called to love our brothers and our sisters, but so often we reject them. We reject them when they come to church. We give them very degrading titles. We give them titles like CEOs, Christmas Easter onlys. We call them biannuals. Biannuals, because they only come twice a week or twice a year. We call them part-time Christians because they're only here when they need something. But in reality, we ignore them. We ignore them and we think that they don't deserve to be here. They don't deserve to have a voice. They don't deserve to be part of this parish and this church and the body of Christ. And they don't deserve our help. Every Sunday after church, I say it, and I don't know how many years I have said it, but every Sunday after church, I say, if there are new people here you don't recognize, go up and introduce yourself to them. Every Sunday I say this. And unfortunately, almost every Sunday, I see those same people disappear because nobody goes up and introduces themselves. Nobody goes and stops them. Nobody says, come with me to the hall. Nobody says, who are you? It's nice to meet you. This is a problem still in this church. We ask, why should I do that? Why should I be happy to introduce myself to someone? What am I going to gain from it? But the question really should be, not what am I going to gain from it, but what is that person going to gain from it? What is that person going to gain? And I can tell you what they will gain. They will gain family and love. We are called to be that family. We are called to be that love in that person's life. So many people are searching for that in this world today. So many people are looking for somewhere to belong, somewhere to feel part of. In a world that is full of technology, full of iPhones and iPads and all these different things, social media, FaceTime, all these things that we have now, WhatsApp. These things bring people together, but at the same time, they push people apart. They may bring us together for moments, but then we say, well, why do I need to go talk to them in person? Why do I need to call someone? I can just text them. Why do I need to go and introduce myself? I can just send them something on the Facebook and that's enough. These are issues. Man is a social creature that needs to feel that connection. And if we don't have that connection, then we feel lonely and we feel ignored and we don't feel part of something bigger. The parable of the prodigal son is open-ended as it ends. We don't know what the older brother does. All it ends with is with the father's words. Your brother was dead and now is alive. He was lost and now is found. And that's how it ends. We don't know. Did the older brother go in and celebrate that his brother had returned? Or did he stay out in the fields, upset, angry, prideful, and jealous? And I believe that it is left open-ended. Christ purposely does not finish it because he gives it to each of us to finish on our own. Are we going to write it in and say, yes, when somebody comes and I know and I don't know them and they ask for forgiveness, even though I don't think they deserve it, I'm going to go celebrate because they are now part of us again? Or are we going to be like the older brother that stays outside and says, I don't want anything to do with him or her. They don't deserve my love. They don't deserve my mercy. They don't deserve my happiness. They don't deserve me. Which one are we going to do? Are we the older brother that goes in, or are we the older brother that stays out? We are the ones that finish the gospel reading today. Amen.